Father, we exalt you tonight. We bless you, magnify you. We extol you. We reverence you. Father, with all of our hearts, Father, we give you the glory on tonight. You're such an awesome God. You're the only wise God. We brag upon you. We're so thankful, Father, for all that you've done and wrought in our midst through the precious work of Jesus, through the efficacy of his blood, through the power of his resurrection, through his beaten and broken body. All of our redemptive realities have come true. We thank you for it. Father, tonight we thank you for the high honor to share your word. Father God, the high call, privilege, honor to share your word. The word is the most precious thing that we know. The word is anointed. The word has the answer for every situation, every human condition, every human pain and ailment, every human circumstance. Your word has the answer. And Father, when a man or a woman will just believe, place faith in the word. And Father God, that's what we're doing tonight. Thank you for the power of your living word. We believe tonight. We activate faith. We listen with faith. We activate faith as we hear the word tonight. And Father, thank you for accomplishing your plan, your will, your purpose, and your people. Thank you, Father God, that all shall be done to please you and bring glory to your name. And Father, thank you for our helper tonight. He's the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the great Holy Ghost. Thank you, Father, for accomplishing your plan, your purpose in this very service. And so we thank you, give you the glory, and yield ourselves to you. Now, Father God, thank you for our pastors you've set over this place. Pastor and Mrs. Hagen means so much to us. And we thank you. You've set them here as our pastors. And thank you for their leadership and all that you're doing through the Hagens. Father God, we just stand with them and support them and lift up their arms. So continue to use them and bless them, all who are with them tonight. And Father, we'll just be so careful. Give you all the glory. Thank you for unction. Thank you for the utterance. We'll give you all the glory for it. Everything wrought in our midst, in Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, tell one more person hello, that you love them. You can find your seat. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is so good. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is good. Amen. I tell you, it's such a high honor, privilege to share God's word. Thank God for his mighty word. Thank God. God's word's got the answer. Everything you need, everything you require, every situation you face, guess what? God's word's got the answer. His word's got the answer. Praise God. One day heaven and earth will pass away, but not his word. The Bible says his word is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. It's piercing, even to the dividing asunder of soul, spirit, joint, and marrow. His word. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our very heart. And so thank God for his word and his spirit tonight. The year would have been 1985. I was buying a car in 1985. And in 1985, I wanted a Volvo car. And I had picked out a car, and we were back discussing the, negotiating the cost of the car. And the car dealer, on the way back to his office, he said, he made a joke. He asked me what I did for a living. I told him I was a preacher. He said he made a joke. He cracked some joke about preachers, and I wasn't too amused, but I wasn't offended or anything. But it was just a corny joke. And since I was a preacher, I wasn't hardly laughing. But he was really cracking up. He was laughing at his own joke. And so we made it back there to his office, and then we asked him, where do you go to church? And just at that question, it was a simple question, he bowed his head and he was silent for like 15, 20 seconds. And then he bowed his head further, and with his eyes, if his eyes were open, we couldn't see that. It looked like his eyes were either closed or his eyelids were down. And he stayed that way for about another 15, 20 seconds. And then when he lifted up his head and his eyelids, he was just crying crocodile tears. I do remember on the way to the car dealership that night, we were praying in the Holy Ghost, praying like a wild man in the Holy Spirit. But I thought it was about the car. You know, I thought, well, I'm praying in the Holy Ghost because God's giving me wisdom about buying this car. And I had no idea God was up to something bigger than me just buying a car. I said, He's an awesome God. And then when that man shared his story, he shared when he could get himself together and gather his thoughts. And he said, the reason I couldn't answer is because I don't go to any church. And he said, not long ago, he said about a year and a half ago, something like that, he said, I was in prison. And he said, all my family, they're all saved. They're all of them are wonderfully saved people. He said, I'm the only one in my family who's not saved. And he said, my family's prayed for me for years. And he said, I did something, went to prison for it. And he said, there in prison, I began to plead with God over and over again. God, help me. God, please help me. God, please get me out of here. God, help me get out of here sooner. God, please give me favor. He said, my family was praying. He said, I went to praying like this. He said, I told God, God, if you help me, I'll serve you every day I live. If you help me get out of here, I'll serve you the moment I get out. The day I get out, I'll serve you every day of my life. If you help me get out, I'll serve you every day. And he went on sharing his story. And he said, well, I did get out sooner than I was supposed to. He said, I served time, but I got out sooner than I was supposed to. And he said, from that day, the day I got out to this very night, I've never served God one single day. He said, I so quickly forgot about my prayer. He said, I so quickly forgot about what I promised God. He said, I so quickly forgot about how I prayed day after day in that jail, day after day in my cell. He said, I forgot all about that. I haven't lived for God one single day. He said, there was something about the weight of your word when you said, where do you go to church? He said, it just grabbed me in my heart. And God reminded me of my own prayers, my own words from my prison cell. And I've neglected what I repented of. And I never did what I told God I would do. And we said, well, God is a kind, compassionate, loving God. And we said, and He wants to save you right here tonight. And instead of negotiating that car, we bowed over the paperwork with it. He had tear stains over the paperwork, and we bowed over that paperwork and led him right to Jesus Christ right there in his office. They had locked up the dealership and everybody had gone home, had left the keys there. And by the time we got done hugging him and just rejoicing over his salvation, it was too late to even think about some cheap car. And we said, brother, we'll come back another day. We can talk about that any other day. There's a higher purpose. There's a higher meaning to the night. And we all just rejoiced. And that brother was gloriously saved. Said gloriously saved. Got involved in a good church and got involved in Bible study. And we shared fellowship for years to come after that. He said he had told me, he said, God blessed me so much. He said there was a Toyota dealer. This was a Volvo dealer we were at, but he had worked for this Toyota dealer, back then, big Toyota dealer in Richmond, Virginia, Johnny Pompel Toyota. And he said he was a top salesman, selling more Toyotas than anybody the year he got out of prison. And then some things had gone wrong. He switched dealerships, came over there and selling Volvos, and he was selling more Volvos than anybody. Tonight's message is entitled The Power of Repentance. The power of repentance. You know, repentance, it's a beautiful word. Repentance is a glorious word. Repentance, it's just a great sounding word. Say that with me, repentance. Oh man, it sounds so good. Repentance means that God, He's the God of a second chance. Repentance means that it doesn't matter what we've done, God has the ability to clear our debt, to wipe our slate. Micah 7:18 said, He takes our sins and throws them into the bottom of the deepest ocean, never to remember them anymore. Is anybody glad about that? God is so good. And so repentant, the power of repentance. You know, the Bible says, Romans 2:4, that His kindness leads us to repentance. Aren't you glad about that? God's not like some angry old grumpy man swatting us and trying to judge us and chase. No, God, his love, his kindness compels us. His kindness leads us to repentance. So often when we talk about repentance, we speak of it in the terms of, you know, so often in the church today, people think, well, repentance, that's a topic for non-believers. Hope there's a bunch of non-believers here, Brother Bill. You're talking about repentance. But you know, that's wrong. If you're thinking that, you have the wrong view of repentance. I'm speaking to you if you're thinking that. Because repentance is a subject for every New Testament believer. Every New Testament believer should be overjoyed with repentance. Repentance opens the doors, the floodgates to God's grace and his mercy. Yes, it does. Repentance causes God to help us, to lift us, to strengthen us, to keep us. If necessary, he'll prop us up. But whatever when we repent, the floodgates of God's mercy and grace just overflow us. I said the power of repentance. When Paul wrote of repentance, he wrote to New Testament, tongue-talking, spirit-filled New Testament believers. He wrote to them over and over again about the importance of repentance. Go over there and read in Revelations, and he writes to those seven churches. I think five of those seven churches, he tells them, repent. In the church today, people act like, if you're a believer, you don't have to repent of anything anymore. Just repent one time for your sins and you don't have to. I beg to differ with you. You ain't reading your Bible. Or you ain't reading your Bible close enough. I wish I had one amen there. I said, because we have the privilege, really the privilege to repent when we do wrong. Is anybody that's never done wrong? We've all done wrong. But the thing about it is we serve such a gracious, wonderful God. He's an awesome God and he's slow to anger and he's full of mercy. The Bible says he's rich in mercy. And as I said, his kindness compels us to come. Go with me, Luke 15, Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Several days ago, I was just compelled by the Lord to in my prayer time in the morning to share tonight on this subject of repentance. That one word just stood out to me that the Lord wanted me to highlight some things here tonight. We're in Luke chapter 15, a familiar story, no doubt, to many believers, the prodigal son. The prodigal son, this is his story. You know, Jesus shares the story about the lost sheep and the lost coin, and he talks about repentance in each of those stories, and then he shares, to further highlight the point he's making, he shares the story about the prodigal son, and the young man asked for his half of the inheritance. You've heard this story, and there are two brothers, and the younger says, "Father, I want you to give me my half of the inheritance and split it off for me now," and his father does it. And a few days later, he leaves. So let's pick up there. He takes his inheritance and then he leaves. Verse 13. We're in Luke chapter 15 at verse 13, if you will. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. Luke 15, 13. "And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now, when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. And so he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him." Verse 17. "But when he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I'm dying here with hunger. I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men.' And so he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And they began to celebrate. In this story is the power of repentance is seen so clearly in this story, because this man, he does three things essentially, the prodigal son, when he repents. And the Bible says, you know, he his sins were evident. He took the money, he squandered it, he loose living. Some versions say riotous living. He sinned the way he lived his life. He sinned the way he spent that money. But when he came to repent, there are three things that I noted when he came to repent. I want to highlight them. Verse 17 says, but when he came to his senses, the first thing he did, he came to his senses. And there's nothing like the power of repentance when a man or when a woman will first come to their senses. It reflects the fact that when he came to his senses, he was thinking right. He had gotten his goofy thinking all cleared up. And so often what keeps a person from truly repenting is wrong thinking. Wrong thinking will keep us from repenting when we should repent. Wrong thinking. There are times when people are going through things, and sometimes it's pride, sometimes other things, wrong thinking, other ways of wrong thinking that will lead us not to repent. But the Bible says he came to his senses. He started thinking right. He cleared up his goofy thinking. Sometimes people have goofy thinking because they think, well, I can live my life any kind of way and ain't nobody gonna know about it. But like my mama used to say, God sits high, he looks low. He can see everything. And what we do in private, God can see what we do in private. And you know, the beautiful thing about Joseph, when Potiphar's wife tried to tempt him to sin, he said, how could I commit this great sin against God? He was essentially saying, my heavenly father's watching me. I'm not about to participate in that. Because she said, nobody gonna see it. Potiphar's gone, everybody's out the house, ain't nobody gonna know. She said, just you and me, ain't nobody going to know. He said, my God will see it. And see, anytime we get to thinking that ain't nobody going to know, can't nobody see it? That's goofed up thinking. I said, it's goofed up thinking. The prodigal son, he came to his senses, which meant he started thinking clearly. And so he came to his senses, and right here tonight, you may be listening to me here in this service or listening some other way. And while we're speaking in the course of this message, someone's thinking is getting cleared up. Someone had fuzzy thinking, whether it was pride or some other foolish thought, your thinking is getting cleared up. I said, amen in Jesus' name. And so the first thing, verse 17 tells us that he came to his senses and he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread and I'm dying here with hunger? For him to come to his senses, he realized how rich his father was. He was suffering in poverty, but in the clarity of his thoughts, he thought, my father is so rich. He came to his senses. And yet the Bible said, God, he's rich in mercy. Aren't you glad about that? I said, he's rich in mercy. Glory be to God. And so the first thing, he came to his senses. Verse 18 says, he said, I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. And that's the second thing about his repentance that I love, because not only did he come to his senses, he cleared up his goofy thinking, but secondly, he didn't blame anybody else. So often when people repent, they want to blame somebody. They want to play the blame game. Well, I'm sorry, but I wouldn't have done it if you hadn't done that first. I wouldn't have said what I said if you hadn't said that. And so for some, repentance means I'm going to blame you for all the things I think you did. And then I'm going to say that I repented. That ain't repentance. All that is playing the blame game. When you really repent, you'll come to your senses and think clearly. And you'll have a realistic understanding of who you are and then who your awesome heavenly Father is. But not only will you think clearly when there's true repentance, when there's the power of repentance in our lives, we'll come to our senses. But listen, we won't be blaming anybody else. When it's time to take responsibility for our actions, then we shouldn't blame anybody else. We ought to have a conversation with the man in the mirror, with the woman in the mirror. We ought to be able to say, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I didn't come to blame anybody else. I didn't come to push it off on anybody else. Father God, it's me. Oh, I wish I had one amen in here. You can't get no amen talking about repentance. Oh, but when you can come to God and not play the blame game, when you can say, Father, it's just me. I'm coming to repent. It's me. I'm not blaming anybody else. I'm not pushing this on anybody else. Oh, you'll hear then the gates begin to move and the floodgates begin to open and God's grace begin to flow and God's power begin to move and God's mercy begin to flow and overwhelm you. There's power in repentance. Repentance is not a conversation. Certainly it's a conversation for the unsaved. Certainly it is. But it is also a conversation for every New Testament believer to be in right fellowship with Father God. There is nothing else. I said, there is nothing else. I said, the most unhappy person in the world is a Christian out of fellowship with God. I said, you can't get no amen teaching like that. I said, the most unhappy person in the world is a Christian out of fellowship with Father God. And anything between us and our Father will rob us of our joy. I said, will rob us of our joy as a believer. My question is, what stands between you and your Heavenly Father? When I arise in the morning, I ask the Lord, I fall to my knees, I ask the Lord, Father, as I stretch my hands to him, if there's anything between you and me, show me, I'll repent. If we've done anything, if we've hurt anybody, if we've done anything, our examine our words, examine our thoughts, examine our actions. We must not allow there to be anything between us and God. And so he came to his senses. He didn't blame anybody else as he came. Verse 19, he said, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. And so he got up and came to his father. The third thing he did, the prodigal son, is he came without a sense of entitlement. He came saying, I'm not in and of myself, by myself. In and of my own strength, in and of my own works, I'm not even worthy, he said, to be called your son. And so he came not expecting he wasn't expecting the robe. He wasn't expecting the ring. He wasn't expecting the fatted calf. He wasn't expecting the party. He wasn't expecting the joy. He came without a sense of entitlement, but because of the way he repented and came, all of those things were bestowed upon him. And aren't you glad as believers, Jesus has bestowed his righteousness upon us. I said, you can't get no amen teaching like this. He's given us his robe of righteousness. He's given us his ring of authority. I wish I had an amen in here. He has made us worthy. He has called us his sons and daughters. Our worthiness has not come from us. It has been bestowed upon us by our Father God. He has made us worthy in the same way that the Father made this boy worthy. The boy didn't go demand the ring. The boy didn't demand the robe. The boy didn't demand the fatted calf. The Father gave it to him. And so the boy was able to stand comfortably in the position the Father had. Oh, I wish I had an amen in here. The Father had put him in. And so the power of repentance. Go with me to another scripture. Go with me now to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12. At verse 14, we'll start. Hebrews 12, 14. Pursue peace with all men and sanctification, without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled, that there be no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. For you know that even afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought for it with tears. Thank God that today is the day of salvation. Thank God that today mercy flows freely. His grace flows abundantly. Thank God that today is the day. Listen, the Bible says, talking about Esau here, that he sold his birthright for a cheap meal. In the way that some believers sell God out for a cheap moment of pleasure in their lifestyle. What Esau didn't do, he didn't examine the consequences of what he was doing. He didn't stop to think about what's the consequences of what I'm about to do. What is this really going to cost me? And sometimes, my brother and sister, things that we do have consequences. Now listen, from God's side, thank God he's always forgiving, always loving, always willing to wipe the slate clean. Aren't you glad about that? Then he never remembers. I said, amen. Praise God. But people aren't always like that. And culture and society aren't always like that. And because of that, oftentimes the Holy Spirit will move on someone and say, don't do that. Don't, wait a minute. Wait, don't do that. Wait. Think about it now. Think about it. Don't do that. No. Get back over here. Where are you going? Come back over here. Well, some people say, well, get off of me. I got free will and I can do what I want. You better read Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah said the people wouldn't repent. The people grew hard. The people refused to turn around. They refused to answer God's call to repentance. Don't push him away. When his kindness is moving on you, the Lord is speaking to you. And he said, Esau, he didn't think about it. He didn't think about what he was doing. He didn't think about the consequences of what he was doing. And then afterwards, when it was too late to get it back, then he had tears of repentance. And the day will come when it's too late to repent. I said, you can't get no amen teaching like that. I said, the day will come. Today is the day. What day? Today is the day. Today is the day. The Bible said today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. Oh, today is the day. And so the Lord's moving on you. The Lord's speaking to you about something. Amen. Let him speak to you. Hallelujah. We need to keep a soft, pliable heart. Amen. And the moment the Holy Spirit tugs on our heart, we can just repent, get rid of it. Because, you know, he's given us the 1 John 1:9. Go with me to 1 John 1:9. He's given us access to his grace and to his mercy, and thank God. In 1 John 1:9, and I'll read 8 through 10. 1 John 1, chapter 8 through 10. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. He's writing to spirit-filled, tongue-talking believers. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Anybody glad about that? To forgive us of all unrighteousness. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So to the unrepentant person tonight, I want to ask you, are you deceiving yourself? in your refusal to repent, or are you calling God a liar? Because one of them two things is happening if a person won't repent. If they're wrong and they know they're wrong and they won't repent, they're either deceiving themselves or calling God a liar. But God, he has given us this verse. If we confess our sins, sin means to miss the mark. It means like a bullseye. Sin literally means to miss the bullseye, to miss the target. In other words, God has a righteous standard. And every man, all of us have missed that standard. We've missed that mark. We've come short of the mark, come short of the standard. Every one of us. Aren't you glad for the blood of Jesus? Aren't you glad that Jesus paid the price for us? Aren't you glad that we've received Jesus' righteousness? Aren't you glad that we've been justified by the blood? I said, amen. And so we've all missed the mark. We've all missed that standard. But the Bible said, if we confess, to confess means to say the same thing as God says. If we'll say the same thing, if we'll say what God is saying about our sin, if we'll say the same thing that God says, if we'll say the same thing, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness. You know what that is? That for the Christian, that is the spiritual bar of soap. Now, most folk wouldn't think of getting up a day and not bathing. And if you do think like that, we ask you to have mercy on your brothers and sisters. Because if you go somewhere without bathing, then there's going to be a stench. I said, if you go somewhere and not bathe, there's going to be a stench. How many would think of getting up tomorrow and not bathing? And so the thing is, that happens spiritually. There becomes a stench. When a Christian goes on and on with no repentance, though they're making mistakes, they're coming short, and they refuse to repent, they go on and on, and there develops a spiritual stench. When God, he has given us his spiritual bar of soap right here. We can get it right anytime we need to. Any moment, any second of the day or night, we can get it right. I said, he's that kind of God. And so he has provided over and over for us again. Look at 2 Peter real quick. 2 Peter 3:9. 2 Peter 3:9. I'll start at verse 8 here. 2 Peter 3:8, 9 is our verse, but 2 Peter 3:8. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved. That with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Wow. That demonstrates the love and the power of our Heavenly Father. You know, when we don't repent, then if we make a mistake following God, all we have to do, we can get it right so quick. We just repent real quick, get right back in line and keep going. It's no big deal. We don't have to build a monument around our mistake. We don't have to camp out there 6 months. We can just get it all. We can just repent and get it out of the way. Let the Lord forgive it, wash it, go on down the road. I said, amen. It only becomes a big deal when people refuse to deal with it. David sinned with Bathsheba and tried to go on like nothing happened. You know what he said? He said, I'm the king. He said, ain't nobody higher in the land than me. Anybody gonna know? Goofed up thinking till Nathan the prophet showed up and told him a story and then said, thou art the man. From the pulpit to the pew. He said, you can't get away with that. And what, you know what David had to do? You ever read Psalm 51? He had to repent. And he did repent, thank God. Thank God he truly repented. But the thing about it is when a man or a woman won't repent and they keep going on, well, if you keep on going, if you keep on down that road, somewhere down that road, I don't know how far it is. It's somewhere way back down the road. If you keep on backing up and you keep on backing up, somewhere you're going back into judgment. I don't know how far you got to go back. I don't want to know. Because I know that God is rich in mercy, not willing for anybody to perish. Acts chapter 5, if you will. Acts chapter 5. Woo! Man, we're rounding third. We're going to have to dive into home plate again. We're around the third, headed for home. Acts chapter 5. You've no doubt read this story. Ananias and Sapphira, early members of the church. They had some land, took the land. They were mimicking another brother. Barnabas had some land, sold the land, gave all the money to the apostles, was a great blessing. People patted him on the back, said, "You're a great blessing." Nicknamed him Barnabas. His name was Joseph. They nicknamed him Barnabas, son of encouragement. Ananias and Sapphira were watching that whole thing, watching him receive accolades, watching him, people pat him on the back. Wow, look at the status this brother has. So they said, we got some land. We're going to go sell the land, and then we'll lie about it. And they got into agreement on that thing. They got an agreement on telling a lie. There's power between a husband and wife. They get into agreement on the truth, on the word. I said, woo, there's wonder-working power flowing. These people got into agreement on a lie. Got their story all straight. And then the Holy Spirit prompted Peter, and Peter went to him and said, Brother Ananias, let me talk to you for a minute. Said, the money that you gave, said, now, you know, we don't care. We didn't ask you for any money. We didn't ask you to give nothing. Said, you just, you know, you did that of your own volition. Nobody here asked you to do nothing. But you said, this is what you got for it. Is that the actual case? He said, oh yeah, that's the case. That's what we got for the land. That's what we got for it. That's all. We gave you everything. I said, come on now, bro. Tell it right. Oh, that's all of it. I gave you. That's everything. Peter said, come on, bro. Tell truth now, man. This ain't no big deal. We didn't care whether you gave it or not. We didn't ask you to give it. You gave it of your own volition. Just tell the truth, bro. Is this what you gave? Yeah, that's it. The Bible said he fell over dead. And the young man came and took him out and buried him. The Bible said 3 hours later, his wife came in. Somebody said, how come she didn't immediately fall over dead? God wanted her to repent. He was giving her time to repent. He was giving her an opportunity to repent. Ananias wouldn't do it. Ananias, and faced with repentance, just looked at Peter and told a bold-faced lie. Peter said, you didn't lie to men, you lied to God. You thought you were just lying to a man. You thought you were just tricking a man. You thought you were just putting something over on a man. But it was the Lord asking through me for you to repent. And what you did, bruh, you lied to God. And so when his wife came in, Peter said, look, let me ask you something, sis. Now just tell the truth. Just tell it right. Is this what y'all got for the land? She said, oh, yeah, that's it. That's exactly what it was. Come on now, sis, tell it right. We didn't ask you to give anything. We didn't ask you to do it. It's no big deal. Just tell the truth. Oh, no, that's it. That's it right there. That's everything. She fell over dead. And the Bible said when the church heard about that, a great fear came upon the church. Woo! You know them folk was out. You know them folk, Pastor Ted, you know them folks was on time at church on Sunday morning and everybody paid their tithes that week. You know that's the truth. No, y'all wonderful. Y'all wonderful for your faith. No, listen. God, listen. He loves us all. And he has provided that when we make a mistake, we can get it right. And the thing about it is the blood of Jesus is so powerful that under that blood, we are justified. And so God, he treats me just as if I'd never sinned. When I come and confess it and make it right, then he can treat me like I never did it. He can throw it into the sea of forgetfulness. Oh, and so my brother and sister, whoever we're talking to tonight, don't allow your heart to become hardened. Over in Luke chapter 9, winding down with my final two scriptures here. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus said something very important about repentance. At verse 25, 9:25, what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses and forfeits himself or his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Yeah. And then over in Luke chapter 12, or 13, I'm sorry, Luke 13, verse 3, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And then final scripture, 2 Corinthians 12, 21, 2 Corinthians 12, 21, we're talking about the power of repentance tonight. And the Lord, he's trying to help somebody tonight. When he gave me this assignment, the Lord's always trying to help his people. He wants to help someone tonight. What did I tell you? 2 Corinthians 12, 21. Paul wrote, I'm afraid that when I come again, my God may humiliate me before you, and I may mourn over many of those who have sinned in the past and not repented of the impurity, the immorality, and the sensuality which they have practiced. God said, there's a way out of that thing. What's the way out? It's through the beauty and the power of repentance. Let's pray. Father, we've endeavored in these few moments that we've had to share along this line that you assigned to us. And Father God, we know that your word works effectually and powerfully. In fact, your word will not return without accomplishing that for which you intended it. And we know that there are people listening to this message through all types of venues and different ways, and yet your word is reaching them and touching hearts here in this place and those listening through some other venue. You're touching hearts right now. And you said in your word in Hebrews chapter 3, if today you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. And Father, we pray that people listening to us won't harden their hearts, but they'll be quick to repent, that they'll just be quick about it, Father God. We pray they'll be sincere. Just be sincere about it, Father. We pray that they'll be unabashed, unashamed, won't be thinking about what other people think or caring about what other people think about it, Father God. We know that you're dealing with hearts in here. And so continue to bless and minister to your people. If you're here in this service with every head bowed, every eye closed, and you know you're not living right, you're a Christian, maybe you've repented before, you've lived for God before, but you know right now tonight, you're not living for Christ the way you should be. You know it. I just want you to come down here and let me pray for you. Come down here, let me pray for you. Let me pray for you right down here. God wants to help you. God wants to help you tonight. I want you to raise your hand. Lift your hand. Let me see your hand. You say, Brother Bill, I need prayer. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. Raise your hand. That's right. Just raise your hand. I see your hand. Yes, I see your hand. Yeah. Yeah. Be honest with God. Something's tugging at your heart. It's not a something, it's a someone. He's got the Holy Spirit. Let me see your hand. Brother Bill, I need you to pray for me. Pray for me. Don't harden your heart. God's trying to get something to you now. Oh, God wants to bless you. Ushers, help me now. Help me. Every other head is bowed. Every eye is closed. Help me now. You need prayer. You know you're a Christian, but you're not living for Christ, and you know it. God wants to help you. He wants. Just lift your hand. Let me pray for you. Lift your hand. Let me see your hand so I can pray for you. That's all right. Come on down. That's okay. Every head's bowed. Every eye's closed. Yeah. Maybe you're here, you've never received Jesus. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus. You've never just said, Lord, I repent of my sins. I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross. I believe that you rose from the dead. I want to repent of my sins. Maybe you've never done it. Lift your hand. Let me pray for you. Oh, God wants to help you. He wants to open the floodgates of his love and his mercy and his grace upon you. Maybe you've never done that. Oh, but I feel so strongly in my spirit. Someone listening through some other venue, God's touching you. God's helping you. Listen. Just repent before the Lord. Be honest with the Lord. But here in this place, God is speaking to hearts. And see, Jesus said this, if you're ashamed of me here in church service, when it's time for me to stand for you in front of angels, holy angels, I'll be ashamed of you. But if you won't be ashamed of me, then I won't be ashamed of you. Lift your hand. You know you're not living right, or you know you've never given your life to Jesus. One of those two things, you know that. Lift your hand in this place. Let the Lord help you. You know he's pulling at you. You know, so often we hear people tell us, man, you know, when you're giving the altar call, it was just, I just had to do everything I could to stay in my seat. Don't be like that. You know what that's called? That's a hardened heart. Lift your hand. Lift your hand. Let me pray for you. Lift your hand. Let me pray for you. Let the Lord help you. Let the Lord help you. Oh, hallelujah. 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 We're just going to wait on you another moment. God is working. God is moving. Hallelujah. There's somebody else here. You know it. I know it. God knows it. Come on now. God's waiting on you. God's trying to help you. Somebody in here, you know, your tomorrow's not promised to you the way you're living life, the way you're going. There are promises, but the way you're living life. And if you'll let him help you. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, let God help you. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Those of you listening through some other venue, oh, just ask the Lord now. We're going to pray. We want you just to pray after us. Follow us in prayer. Hallelujah. Let God help you. Hallelujah. Those of you here at the altar, I just want you to lift one hand to God. Hallelujah. God sees your heart. God sees your tears. Oh, I just want you to say this prayer out loud after me. Father, I come in the name of Jesus, and I call upon your mercy. I call upon your love. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I know he died for my sins. I know you raised him from the dead. And I know he's alive forevermore. So I just submit my life to you. Every area. I give it all to you. I repent of my sins. I ask you to cleanse me, to wash me, to take me in again, to make me the person that you want me to be. And I will live for you all the days of my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Let me tell you, God has heard your prayer. Oh, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Hallelujah. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. We just pray for our brother. We just speak healing to him in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is our brother Paul. He's a prayer minister. He's a minister of righteousness, and he's going to take you to the prayer room, give you free materials, and you can ask questions and make sure you get everything you came for. Just want you to go with brother Paul. Let him give you those materials and answer your questions. Just go right with him. Go with brother Paul. He's got free materials for you. Hallelujah. Let's give all these folks a big hand. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Well, I'll tell you, God's a patient God. But if you push him off, if you push him away, oh, man, 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 man. There's someone or someone still in here in this place that are doing that. Oh, man. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your help and your mercy. All right. Our prayer team is coming now. You need prayer. Then these folks are equipped to agree with you. They're going to agree with you in prayer. The men come over to the men. The women come over to the women. And they're not here to counsel you, but they will pray with you according to the word. They know how to pray according to the word. And so they'll agree with you according to scripture, and you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. All right. Pastor Ted, you said we didn't have any visitors. Okay. So stand up on your feet, then lift one hand to the Lord. Father, thank you so much. As we've shared, we pray that the weight of this message will stay with your people. Encourage them, uplift them, build them up. Father God, we thank you for it. Oh, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, that's it for tonight, my friends. We love you. We thank you so much for coming. Thank you so much for being here tonight, for your responsiveness. We thank you. You're so easy to minister to. We just love you. And remember, if you need prayer for something, come on up and get prayer. If not, be praying for Pastor Mrs. Hagen and all the team that's ministering with them. We love them and thank God for our pastors. Okay, you are dismissed. God bless you.